Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. I am in my living room here in Van Nuys, and it's exciting. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, FamilyPetAncestry.com, for no particular reason besides that it made me laugh, and it points to my website. So, the credits. Mike Rickberg composed the Dork Forest theme song. He sings it with his girlfriend Sarah Cohen in the beginning. He sings the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Patrick Brady fixes this audio. Vilmos works on my website. And if you go to my website, scroll to the bottom, or look in the notes, you can find a link to his website, and you can have him do your website. I'm going to say the word website one more time. There we go. It's November, and in November, I ask, and December, I ask that you don't donate to the Dork Forest if you were thinking about it. I hope you enjoy the show, and please donate January through October. You could give me $10 a month January through October, because I like the idea of $100 a year from everybody. But in November and December, it's the holidays, you guys. Take your money and donate to your local food bank. How do you do that? You go to google.com and you type in the name of your town, space, the word food, space, the word bank, and then you hit enter. And all of a sudden, the food bank that is in your town, whatever town that is, comes up, and you give them $10, or you give them $100, or you go buy some food and give it to them. And I totally appreciate that, and I hope everyone has a good holiday and a happy Thanksgiving. So, if you do want to support the show, it's coming up on your gift-giving season. You can buy a gift for people on the merch page on JackieCation.com. You can buy them T-shirts. There's Dork Forest T-shirts. There's all of my CDs, including the new one, This Will Make an Excellent Horcrux, and my new DVD. All of them are available on iTunes and Amazon and all that stuff for half the price if you just want digital copies. But if you want hard copies, I will send you one, along with some weird trinket that I have lying around. You never know. You can also use the Amazon banner when you order from Amazon. We all do. There's an Amazon banner on JackieCation.com. It's white. It's above a video. You click. You get to Amazon. You buy your stuff. You put it in the cart. And I get a kickback. I get a weird percentage. And last month, I got like $230. So I totally appreciate whoever's doing this because it's great. My shows this week, because it's Tuesday. I'll tell you about November 13th, all L.A. I'm at Nerd Melt, which is the Meltdown Comics Theater, Nerd Melt, and I'm doing a show for Brickleberry. It's called Picture This. I tell jokes about the TV show Brickleberry, and the artists for Brickleberry draw them. The 16th, I'm doing the Hollywood Improv for Carrie Otis, or Odes. And the 18th, I'm back at the Virgil for a show called Victory Lap. And so a couple of sets around Los Angeles. Thanks a lot for listening, folks. The ad this month is going to happen, and it's Bob Calhoun's book. Thanks for tuning in. Shattering convention, shattering convention, shattering, shattering. Hey, I sang. It's Jackie Cation. Shattering conventions, commerce, cosplay, and conflict on the expo floor by Bob Calhoun is this month's sponsor. It's a hilarious and disturbing book. Friend of the show, conventions dork, Bob Calhoun, has been on the show previous episode. He goes to all kinds of different conventions, trade shows, and expos, and writes about it in Shattering Conventions. But he doesn't just go to Comic-Con and Star Trek conventions. He goes to a gun show, a livestock show, a Republican convention, a conspiracy convention. I remember being slightly worried when he went to that one. And even a Bigfoot Hunter Con. There's all kinds of crazy and wrong in this book, and it's not always where you expect to find it. Not only have I read this book, I endorsed it with a blurb on the back cover, and I recommend it to all Rangers of the Dork Forest and spooky reading girls within the sound of my voice. The book is Shattering Conventions, Commerce, Cosplay, and Conflict on the Expo Floor by Bob Calhoun. It's available in ebook and paperback from Amazon.com and other fine booksellers. For more on the book, go to shatteringconventions.com. It's a really good book. You should get it. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. Here we are in my living room once again, and I'm sitting with Mr. Matt Oswalt. Welcome to the program, Mr. Matt Oswalt.
Hello, and thank you for providing me with these leftover Halloween snacks.
That's right. We're talking fangs. We're talking gummy bugs.
All things gummy.
And we're talking bouncy skulls. Come on, Skull. Bounce. Bounce, what? Skull.
Come on, guy.
Oh. That's just good. There we go. Kaboing.
You give out bouncy skulls for like, trick-or-treaters?
Yeah, bouncy skulls and gummy nonsense.
Do you get a lot of trick-or-treaters here? Because this
110 kids,
like...
4 babies.
Wow, that's a lot.
My husband loves Andy loves a spreadsheet. So he likes to keep track of how many kids. We dressed as Christmas elves and handed out candy because there's nothing more terrifying.
Exactly. We live in a cul-de-sac, too, so it's like you got them. They can't go anywhere. Like, right. If they see you, they can't escape unless they go by your
house. This super blue-collar neighborhood with lots of kids and lots of parent families and young families and stuff, and so it's super nice.
That's a lot, 110 kids. That's significant. I was at a house in Hancock Park, and over 3,000. Thank you.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
But
I think it's more Hancock Park and Toluca Lake and all that stuff here in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Those are destination trick-or-treaters. They're kids that are looking for like a full-size candy bar or something.
Well, it's funny because clearly the kids that are coming don't live in that area. It's weird how as it gets darker and later, the type of people coming to the house change. Like at first it's all like little kids dressed as Elsa.
Right.
By 9 o'clock it's just like teenagers, no costumes, Ralph bags.
Oh, hey, yeah. We get a lot of that.
You know, yeah. It just literally just going house to house getting candy. I'm like, hey, go ahead, take
some. Have some candy.
Care. Yeah, why not?
Yeah. My favorite was a couple of kids. They were wearing, this happened a couple of years ago, but there were 3 of them, and they all had like Columbine like jackets, those long glass, but like sunglasses.
Yeah.
And sticks. They were pretending to be blind, and one of them was facing away from the, he was like, trick or treat. And he was facing, and I was like, that's nice. That's nice work, and they all had Ralph's bags, and they
Ralph's
just,
bags. Yeah.
Which is just a grocery bag. And they're just like, you know, but it was some effort. I appreciated the tiny effort.
Well,
that
there
they
are
made.
Some kids who literally just show up in a pair of jeans and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And it's like a Ralph's plastic bag. Hey,
right.
What's going on? Can you at least say trick or treat? Don't say, hey, what's going on? Just say, let's go through the motions. Let's pretend that we're just.
Oh, Andy makes
this game.
Them all. Andy makes especially the teenager kids. He's like, did you have something to say to me? And they go, trick or treat.
He makes them work.
Yeah, he does. Because we have kids who hang out in the back of our alley. We have an alley. Because then we have a high school right here. Yeah. And Andy likes to go back there like Mrs. Kravitz occasionally and go, you know, it doesn't matter what you guys are doing back here. I'm all cool with it. If you could just not litter.
Really?
And the 15-year-olds are like, oh, of course. Sure, that sounds cool. That's fair enough. And they're really not, I mean, literally, they're.
Do they abide?
They do. You guys talk to them every couple of months.
Usually when you tell teenagers not to do something, that's when they'll absolutely do it. So
right. Well, yeah, they didn't care. They were like, yeah, sure, fine. Because the thing, we're not rousting them. That our neighbor who used to live next door used to call the cops on them.
Really?
And we don't care.
No.
It's just like, they're literally, what they're doing is sitting back there looking at their phones for an hour and a half because they don't want to go home because they're 15.
Yeah.
And all they want is an hour and a half apiece.
And
I was like, do it, man.
It's almost on Van Nuys Boulevard. There's pretty much nothing really.
No.
There's a lot of Bell Bonds places.
If you got a buck and a half, you can get a taco.
Yeah.
But if you don't, go sitting behind in our alley and look at your phone.
To visit the lovely adult bookstores on Van Nuys, so they can't get in there either.
We got a really great chicken place, though, right there called I Papa Que Rico.
Oh, really?
It used to be a check cashing place, and the guy was like, I'll put in a grill. And he started selling chicken. He now has three businesses right there.
Wow.
And you can probably still cash a check.
You probably
can. But he's a normal
guy.
Can
I trade my Starbucks paycheck for an entire bucket of to-go?
You can get 2 chickens for like $25.
Two chickens?
With rice, beans, and tortillas and everything.
I'm like starving. I'm going to stop there on the way home.
You had
to give me the
good. Yeah, for sure. It's actually quite excellent. Now, at Puddin' Strip, at Puddin' Strip is a series that you do with Pepitone, right?
Well, yeah, it's a web series. Before we get into that, can I just mention one thing?
We're going to dork out, but I just want to get the plugs in.
Okay, I am not Jackie's original. Who is your guest today? Who is the one that canceled? I'm a fill-in.
You are a
podcast,
fill-in. Right? But you said you wanted
That's
to do
sad.
It.
That's pathetic. The fact that Jackie
that kind
woke
of money
up on a Tuesday and said who could be available on a Tuesday afternoon at 3 in the afternoon.
I did
Oswald
email.
Has nothing going on. I'm gonna.
I emailed Retta. Do you know Retta?
No, I don't know. Who
Parks
that is.
And Rec.
Okay.
A black lady, very nice, very comic.
Oh, I know who she is. I know. Who
right.
She is.
She's very funny.
Yeah.
And let me give you her distinguishing.
Who canceled?
I can't remember.
Okay.
I just did one with Jared Logan, and I had 2 scheduled for today, and then I have 2 scheduled for Thursday, and it's Lorraine Newman and Emily Heller, And
it's just sad being a podcast villain. I'm like the George Gobel of podcasts. I just go from one to the other, just hang waiting in the wings for, like, you know.
Just torn.
Sorry, Steve Agee couldn't show. Matt, can you come in and give me a good 15 minutes? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I have been more than once a podcast fill-in where
a
I'm just
podcast
like.
Podcast fill-in.
Why not? What the heck?
That could be a good web series, by the way, just about a guy who's such a D-list celebrity. He's literally a podcast fill-in. He's on call to be a podcast guest.
Right, because Puddin' Strip is a webcast. It's a web series.
As I eat gummy worms, a web series I did with the great Eddie Pepitone.
Right, who was just on talking about hockey, and you're wearing a USA Hockey shirt.
Yes, I am. We're a big hockey guy. He's a big Rangers fan. I'm a big Flyers fan, so we have a lot of battles.
Flyers?
Philadelphia Flyers, New York Rangers.
There you go.
Philly, New York is a big thing. But it was a web series I did with him. It took place in a office break room. It was a daily show. It was a daily web series.
Right.
And the entire show consisted of me sitting in an office break room eating a little pudding cup.
Right.
And Eddie would just come in and say something or do something that was horribly racist or vile or misogynistic or suicidal or depressing or anything.
Right.
Hopefully kind of funny. It was very dark, not safe for
and
work.
There's many episodes. How many episodes?
Over 500.
Okay.
We do it
every
day. And
still ongoing?
No, we had to stop because...
He got busy. Didn't he go to Edinburgh?
He didn't get that busy.
Nobody got that busy.
He's not that busy. I've got a call back for a Two Broke Girls, man. I can't do pudding anymore. What happened was we taped the shows at an office out in Santa Monica. These guys were really cool. They let us shoot there for free. It was great.
Oh, yeah.
But then their office moved. They moved to a new office on Wilshire Boulevard. And the new office is beautiful, but they share the kitchen space with two other companies. And so
It's awkward.
It's awkward. I could use it if I wanted to, but I just feel really shitty about imposing it.
Right. Feel like two other businesses, they can't come in. And how long does it take to do? An hour, hour and a half?
Yeah, a couple hours, but it's like we got to literally clear the whole kitchen out. Nobody can go in there. I feel like a dick.
Two hours out of the day. You'd have to do it at night.
We'd go at night. We always go at night. But it's one of these companies where they work around the clock, so there's always people there. So we did a couple episodes there. And there were people kind of wandering, like, who the fuck are these people? I want to get a bagel, and these guys are in there. And I just felt like an asshole, so I'm like, we got to stop this. This isn't right anymore.
Fair enough. So you working on anything new, or just...
No, just
touching yourself?
That was sort of
some free time?
What I did, and
That was like your free time thing. That was a fun thing to do, right?
The idea was it to be a free little fun thing to do, but it turned into like a full-time gig because it was just...
500.
My idea was to do it every day. So I just... It was a lot of work. I mean,
so much work with the writing.
The first 200 episodes were really easy to write. It was the last 300 that kind of took, you know...
First 200, breezy.
The first 200 were simple, but that last 300, it's tough, you know? So I was kind of getting burned out. And
sure.
Eddie, I think, was like, dude, I think I've had enough. And,
But we
sometimes will come back and do like a special Christmas episode. We came back to like a special Christmas episode. We get lots of celebrities to come in and do this wacky, usually
just walkthrough like kind of thing.
It's kind of like it's usually a Wonderful Life kind of parody we do.
We sort of
touch it on that movie.
Happy Holidays.
So we may come back and do that again this year.
I changed my name on Facebook today to Fezziwig.
I don't get that.
Fezziwig. It's from Scrooge. It's from the Dickens Christmas Carol.
Okay.
Mr. Fezziwig was his good boss.
Was the good boss.
Yeah, the one that was an example.
Gave him exactly. Okay.
About a year ago, I changed my name to Fireworks on the 4th of July, not knowing that Facebook is just insane about your damn name. It's not like they don't have all of my information. But for some reason, you change your first name. You can't change it again for 2 months. So I changed it to Fireworks on the 4th of July. So, you know, the 5th of July, I was like, I'm going to change it back to Jackie.
No.
They won't let me do it for 2 months. And so I'm like, fine. And now it is August, September. Now it's September. And I'm like, all right. I'm not going to be able to change it till November 4th. I went with pumpkin spice. And now I'm like, well, fine. I'm going through the holidays. And so now I'm Fezziwig. Quite honestly, it irritated me so much that I'm like, I'm never putting my own name there again. Except for that, I'm sure in January I'll be like, I'm bored now.
Do they not let you change it back because they don't want people just every day changing and doing stupid things?
Probably,
like that,
but Twitter lets you do it.
Yeah, they do. People always change their names for like holidays.
Yeah.
And
they don't care. They get it.
They get it.
Right. If you're verified, they said you can't change your @.
Are you
but
verified
you can,
on
I am,
Twitter?
Yeah.
How do you get verified? I'm not verified.
I don't know.
Yet.
They just verified me one day.
Okay.
And I was like, well, someone's a fan at Twitter is what I assume because I'm not a big enough deal for anyone to care if it's actually me.
Yeah.
So I assume it's just someone's a fan at Twitter and went, oh, that's
I
her.
I know her.
Yeah.
Bam, verified.
I like her stand-up comedy. Let's do that.
I guess I have no fans of Twitter yet.
Not yet. One day.
Oh, something to
all right,
for.
Before you
maybe
eat that fly,
will be,
this is it. This is your bump. This is
you
the Dark Forest
I'm
bump.
I'm not going to have any more.
Because you're hungry, and I feel bad because I got a piece of chicken in the fridge.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, so here we are, 10 minutes in. Let's do this. What I cracked up about me is because you're like, I don't know, I guess I could talk about jeans. And I was like, the last person to talk about jeans, Mark Maron. Mark, what do you know about jeans?
First of all, what did Mark Maron have to say about jeans? In
well,
10 words or less.
He likes them. He likes jeans. And
okay.
Then, yeah, that's about it. What's your thing?
I freeze my jeans now. I don't wash them. I freeze them.
Okay. He spoke briefly about those kinds of jeans.
I do.
They're a specific jean.
That's not true.
That isn't true.
You can do it to any jean. I do it to Levi's.
What's the scoop? What's happening with jeans these days? What's going on? I'm pro jean. I myself enjoy
jeans. You
know,
I've always been a jeans guy.
Yeah.
You know, when you're a kid, it's tough skins. Then you move into high school, it's Levi's. Then
sure.
In college, you get into the whole grunge scene. So you go to used clothing stores and put holes in them and think you're cool and
right.
Maybe get into the acid wash or something. And then,
yep.
And then after college, you start making a little bit of money and you start getting into the designer jeans like Diesel and all those
$120
stuff. Lucky.
Yeah.
You know, pretentious jeans. And
then
when you sort of hit in your 30s and get into your 40s, you're like, you know what? Levi's were the best. Why did I ever leave Levi's? And so you get back into Levi's, but you want to buy a pair that's great and that will last forever. And you learn that washing jeans, it's the worst thing you can do to a pair of jeans. It breaks them down.
Right.
It takes the denim out of it. It loosens the crotch and the
legs.
What
is denim? Denim is just cotton, is it not? It's like it's a way that they make.
Yeah, but it's not meant to be washed with deodorant, with detergents and drying. It's horrible for it. And so there's this new idea that if you put a pair of jeans in the freezer and leave them overnight, like once every couple months, it cleans them. It kills all the bacteria,
right?
Which causes them to smell.
Are you putting them in a bag?
No.
No,
just put them in the freezer.
Loose.
You don't need to. You don't need to put them in a bag. Yeah.
I'm not worried about the jeans.
Yeah.
I'm worried about the rest of the food in your freezer.
Yeah. Well, okay. I don't have that much stuff in my freezer.
Okay.
But I do.
Because you have a jean shelf now in your freezer.
I have a jean shelf. All I have is jeans and Arm & Hammer baking soda and, you know.
Or you put the baking soda because that gives a nice fragrance for your jeans. Do you have baking soda in your freezer?
I do, yeah.
Okay. Because it'll take some of the odor out of it, too, if there's any.
But I always do that. Don't you have baking soda in your
fridge? In the fridge, but not in the freezer.
You don't?
No.
I have it in both.
Okay.
It's just something my mom told me when I was a kid when she would always have baking soda.
Both.
So
okay.
I always do.
So, yeah, she's on the know.
But, yeah, but I've this pair of jeans I'm wearing now, I bought them about 6 months ago, and they have yet to be in the wash. Yeah.
Have you ever washed them?
No, you've never washed these.
But how long have you been freezing your jeans?
Since I bought this pair. Because I saw a thing online about saying care for your jeans. They say the way that jeans break down is when you wash them too much. So
okay.
I decided not to wash them, and they said freeze them. It's the best way. So I've been trying using these as like a guinea pig.
Right.
And they work.
I mean, they work.
It works. They don't smell at all.
Right.
They don't lose their shape.
And what if they got dirt on them? Like what if you were gardening? Would you brush them?
If I was going to do something like that, I would probably wear something that I didn't mind putting in the wash.
Okay.
But like these, I don't like get dirty in them. I just wear them in offices.
They're more like dress jeans or more like working in a,
I just
like sitting around
I,
jeans.
I don't garden jeans and I don't get dirty in jeans basically. I don't live that kind of lifestyle.
Right.
You know,
so,
I don't like go hiking in jeans or whatever. So it's like, they'll never get dirty.
They're never going to get dirty.
But the thing is like,
same. Like if you spilled something out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If I spilled Starbucks all over them, then I might have to. Well, then what you can do is you can just get detergent.
Right.
And put it on a little rag and just scrub it a little bit and then put it in water all over it. And
okay.
Then, so you don't need to put the entire
thing. So the speculation is that those jeans will last longer.
That's the idea. Because I've had jeans just like this that I've loved, but they've just broken down over the years. You know,
right.
Because
well,
just,
how
they
long,
just do.
Yeah, I always think a pair of jeans for me lasts about 8 months.
Really? 8 months?
Yeah, I only have two pairs of jeans
okay.
at a time.
Wow.
Some people have like five or six pairs of jeans,
yeah.
But I probably right now have five pairs of jeans, but I only wear two of them. The other three are like backup. I don't like these jeans very much.
Yeah.
And I go through like a couple of years ago, I was wearing a Michael Kors. I was wearing a Michael Kors jeans.
Ooh.
They fit very nicely. They were not that expensive.
Maybe he's the only guy you verified.
Right? I bet you he's verified. But they were like a $60 pair of jeans. Like I'll spend... I will spend $60 or $80 on a pair of jeans. I asked him.
That's reasonable. That's nothing wrong with $60, $80.
Well, Andy is like, he's like, no, Wranglers, they're $19 over at the Sears. And I said, please don't wear Sears jeans. You're a very handsome gentleman. Please wear a pair of jeans that
Please don't wear Sears jeans. Yeah, don't go to Old Navy. You can do a little better than that.
Right. You make video games for a living.
Well, one of the reasons that I did in this whole freezing thing is because when I bought my pair of Diesel jeans, which were $130, which I never spent that much for it, I felt guilty after I bought them. I was like, why did I just spend
so much money? Yeah.
And I didn't wear them for a long time. I was afraid. I didn't want to like ruin them. Then finally I started wearing them.
Right.
6 months later, they ripped.
They just fell apart.
They just fell apart. Because I washed them all the time. Because I thought that I wanted to keep them, you know, up. So I thought that if I washed them all the time, would keep them up. But in reality, it breaks them down. Yeah.
And interesting.
And I've also found that the more expensive the jean you buy, the more delicate they are. And they don't really last very long.
So weird. I saw Hardwick was wearing a pair of jeans. And I was like, yeah, those are the jeans I want to get Andy. Because those are nice jeans. And so I said to him, where'd you get those jeans? And because I have no manners, I don't know. But why not, right? Why not ask somebody where they got the thing? That seems like a legit
question. Yeah.
And yes, I was looking at your ass, I guess, is what that says. But I wasn't. I mean, I was just looking at those jeans more than anything else. And he goes, "Oh, these are weird. I had a weird gig in Paris, and I bought them in Paris. So I think they were, full on designer,
$300,
probably or more.
Crazy.
God knows what they were, you know.
Yeah.
And So I said, and never mind. And then Bill Dwyer was wearing a nice pair of jeans not long after that. And I said, all right, he probably hasn't been to Paris recently. So where'd you get those jeans? And those were Gap 1969 men's jeans.
Okay.
Have you ever tried those?
Those aren't that expensive.
No, no, those are pretty reasonable. Those are like a $35, $45 pair of jeans.
Patton wears those.
Okay, there you go.
I'm pretty sure, because he wears a lot of Gap stuff for some reason.
Right. Oh, okay, then because it must fit him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it must be.
He wears a lot of Gap stuff.
Normal stuff. Patton Oswalt, your brother.
Yes, he's my
brother. Good people.
He's
okay. And, And what is he? Is he a clone on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? What is that? LMD? What's
that? I don't watch that show.
Yeah.
You know, he's my brother. I love him, but I don't support any of the shows. I don't watch that. I don't watch the Goldbergs, even though I've heard the Goldbergs are good. I rarely watch the King of Queens. I didn't, you know.
I'm not much for sitcoms myself.
Yeah, it's nothing personal. I just don't, you know.
No, it's going to be personal as your brother.
Oh, shit.
But,
just we'll make sure not to play this one. Okay.
No, no, he won't hear it. It'll be fine. Michelle occasionally listens. But the Michelle McNamara.
Patton's on, I'm making fun of him, but he's on like 5 network shows as we speak, and I'm a fucking...
Is he really?
I am a friggin' fill-in guest on a podcast on a Tuesday at 3 in the afternoon.
Exactly. Definitely mock the shit out of him. Yeah.
So while he's holding up one end of the entertainment set, I'm down in the bottom eating
you're
Halloween candy in Jackie Cajun's living room on a Tuesday.
Live it up, I say. Why not? It's also part of the solution. So, but the thing about, I love about so Levi's, what kind of Levi's? What is there a specific kind of them?
These are Buttonfly. Yeah, there's a what's the name?
Because you like a Buttonfly more than a 501s.
What does it say here? Is it not 501s, but it's
okay.
A 505?
There might be a 505.
Yeah, 505. What does it say?
That is no, it's a 501.
Oh, it
you're
is?
Wearing a 501.
Okay, yeah, I guess it's a
that's
501.
It.
Okay, so they are Buttonfly.
Okay,
so
and you like a Buttonfly more than a zip?
You know what? I kind of do.
Yeah.
I kind of do. I at first, I didn't like them very much.
I
think they just got in the way. But now that I've gotten older, I prefer the Buttonflies more than the zipper. I just like the way they feel. I don't know.
They're definitely more...
And the more you wear them, the easier it is to pop them off and on. Like when you first buy a pair of Buttonflies, you got to work for it. You got to work to get those things out.
Right.
You really do, you know?
Yeah.
But
they stayed button, too, which is... I used to think they're not going to stay button, but they really do stay button.
Absolutely.
Fair enough.
They're not going nowhere.
Right. Yeah. And then do you like a boot cut or is that a straight length?
This is a straight length.
Yeah.
I keep it kind of straight and just kind of average. Like
right.
I don't go crazy
really
with
dark.
The...
They're like sort of a normal kind of jean color.
I didn't buy them dark. I mean, I bought them this normal. They have a little fading in them, but you know.
But it's not crazy acid wash.
No.
But it's also not super dark.
Although I got to tell you, in the '80s, I did the whole acid wash thing.
Why wouldn't you?
I was a big metal head. I got into that acid wash. I'd actually take my jeans and put them in a little like tub, and put bleach in there. And then, like, let them sit in the sun for, like, an hour, then take them out, and they were all bleached up. I did that shit, yeah.
Sure,
yeah,
why not?
Yeah, that's the 80s. It was the 80s, okay? Stop judging me.
This is the safest space in the world to celebrate the 80s. Knock yourself out.
Okay. I'll do more. Okay.
I there was a time when I only wore a jean with no back pockets, which I think is a weird thing for the ass.
Can you buy jeans with no back pockets?
Only ladies can. Only okay. I think it's a women's pant. Because men's okay. pants, you're like, well, I have to have a place for my wallet.
Yeah.
And
it would just be weird to have a pair of jeans with no back pocket.
Well, it looked,
that would just look odd.
In retrospect, it did look odd. There was a store called The Id when I was in college in the 80s.
Yeah.
And I'd buy these, and they were gray. They were a gray jean.
Wow.
With no back pockets. I must look like, as far as I'm concerned, I look like Logan's Run. It was like something out of a horrible science fiction film. It's a terrible idea. So what about...
God, that's like... I'm trying to picture that. Can I get the gray no pockets, please?
Yes. Yeah, it was not a good look. Not for anyone.
Well, like Tears for Fears is playing on the, on
right.
the...
Right, Aha dun, is going in dun, the background. Dun, dun, dun.
You're trying.
So would you... Now, what I've heard about Levi's, actually, is that you can design your own jean online. Oh,
I did not know that.
Yeah, to my knowledge, you can go specifically.
I'm sure you can. Everything is like you can do all this.
Yeah, like sneakers and whatever like that, like tennis shoes, you can design your own. But
you can?
Yeah, to my knowledge. I thought it was a Nike
thing. I'm sure you can. That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Wow, you can just... I'm sorry, I bumped your mic.
Oh, no worries.
You can actually design your own Levi's? Like,
I think so. Yeah, it's... pardon me while I make a note to edit out that ka-chunk.
Yeah.
Or not. That's the great thing about podcasting. I could forget that.
You can just say, you know what? That was just natural. It happened.
It's
like when the Beatles record it. Sometimes you would hear like little things in the back, and it's kind of quaint. You know, nowadays you don't get that.
When I think of the Dork Forest, I always think of the Beatles.
I didn't want to say it out loud. I wanted to just kind of lead you down that path and let you take it from there, but
yeah,
I'm glad you did.
There was an episode of the Dork Forest that Fred Armisen talked about Paul McCartney, which was interesting because I don't know anything about the Beatles. I mean, I know some of their songs.
Yeah.
Because I'm not, it turns out I'm alive. I don't know anything about Paul McCartney. And I was like, he was in Wings, because that joke never gets old, right?
And, yeah.
So.
With Steven Weber. I think that was, he's my favorite Wing. That's my bad Wings joke.
Oh, that's your bad Wings. Yeah. And who's Steven Weber?
You don't know, he was on Wings.
Oh, was he in Wings?
The TV show Wings.
Oh, the TV show Wings.
That's what I was going
for. Oh, sitcoms.
Yeah. See what I did?
Again?
Oh, you don't do sitcoms. Right, I'm sorry. Right. After I lost you there.
Last sitcom, I think it was Friends.
Your entire Dork Forest audience just groaned at that one.
Man, no, they probably
you been
got
listening?
It. They got it.
They didn't get, she didn't watch sitcoms.
Let's move to your next. I love this list. It's a good one. And,
so, leaving the jeans, I'll just sum up by saying that freezing jeans works so far. 6 months in, and I'm very pleased.
And nobody says you're Stinky Magoo.
Nobody is like,
why are you wearing dirty pants?
Not at all.
No problem.
They really
and it doesn't seem to be affecting any other food in your freezer.
It's not affecting my food. I don't have weird smells on my jeans. My frozen fish sticks do not taste like denim. Everything seems to be working out in my life as far as the jeans go.
Right.
And I've saved a lot of money on not having to wash these things, you know?
Right.
And hopefully they'll last forever. So if I ever do the Dork Forest 20 years from now,
you'll
I'd
be
love
wearing
to be
those
wearing
jeans.
These. I'd love to be. What a little miracle that would be, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would be a miracle.
It would be a little...
Here we are sitting here in our 80s or whatever it would be.
In our 80s.
Yeah. It's So what I like this next one.
The next one. What's the next one?
Teeth.
Teeth.
You like teeth?
Yeah. So this is kind of a weird segue, but I was in a pretty bad bike accident a couple of years ago. I lost all my teeth.
Pedal?
Yes, pedal.
Pedaling bike?
Accident. Over the handlebars, smashed into the pavement, teeth
Oof.
Gone.
Did you get hit or did you just wipe out?
I was driving, riding my bike to the beach, and I hit a sewer grate and my tire kind of wedged into it.
Oh, got caught in the...
Yeah, it was a complete fluke. I was going really fast. When I stopped, I mean, I went from like... probably 15 miles an hour to just zero. And I went right over the handlebars and went right. I didn't even like have time to brace. I just went mouth first into the pavement and
Whoa.
Was knocked out. And I popped my eyes open and there was this big puddle of blood and teeth everywhere. And I'm like, Matt, you're in trouble.
Oh my
so
God.
So I was really messed up. And so I lost my front teeth and I had to get a bridge.
Wow.
Yeah. So they did a really good job.
They look great.
I mean, they welded them in. They're going to be there forever. But the thing about having like fake teeth is you have to like be really good about flossing. And
oh, really?
You got to, because there's no like, it's hard to describe.
Because they're made out of not teeth? No, what are they made of?
It's enamel. It's not okay. That, but it's the way you clean them. You know how you floss your teeth, you kind of go through each tooth? Well, you have to, like, thread a dental floss thing through the top teeth and kind of go side to side and do the whole thing.
Oh, you got to get the underneath part, too?
Yeah. You got to get the gum, the space between the gum and the tooth. You have to, like, get all that. And you have to
more
do a lot,
so.
Because otherwise, yeah, because bacteria and, like, food will just get caught up there. So mm-hmm. you have to, like, make it a point to, like, clean that out a lot.
Wow.
And so I before the accident, I brushed twice a day.
Right. You weren't an animal.
But I wasn't crazy.
Right.
I wasn't an animal, exactly.
Right.
I wasn't like ripping out my teeth with screwdrivers in the garage. I mean, I kept up on them.
Right.
But since the accident, I've had to be very...
Right,
you know,
and they told
regimented.
You when you got them.
They just kind of said, here's the deal, Matt. And for now and the rest of your life, you just need to, like, kind of go after that a lot. And, like,
wow.
you know, just be very regimental about cleaning them. And you should just do that.
How long? And you've had them for over a year?
I've had them since 2009.
Did you get to pick them?
No. I mean, they just make them. I mean, they look exactly like my old teeth. They take, like, a mold. And so they're able to... figure out what your old teeth, because it has
like size wise,
has to match your mouth, so your bite doesn't change, and so they look exactly like my old. I mean, if you would have seen me before and after, you wouldn't even know that I was in an accident because they look so exactly like my old teeth.
Right.
So they did a really good job, and again, they're welded in there, so they're not going anywhere. They're going to be there forever and ever and ever.
Which is nice,
but it's like you just have. I just have to be very regimental about. So my bathroom sink.
Right.
I guess my little drawer has just literally. Gobs of just stuff, like the little picks and the little water pick stuff and the dental floss and the little threaders and different kinds of toothbrushes that can get in there. And it's like a habit of mine. When I sit there and watch TV at night, I'll just have like these little picks and I'll just go through
them. You got a project?
It's almost like I don't even think about it anymore. It's like my little thing I just do. You know?
Right. So and does it take like a half an hour?
I just kind of do it until you don't really want to. I mean, there's no, like, time limit. I just do it because it's, like, a habit. I mean, you can do it forever. It's fine.
Right.
And it's good to do it because the gums have no teeth in them anymore.
Right.
You know, the fake teeth kind of, like, rest against them.
Okay.
So by...
Are they screwed in? Because I've seen those.
No,
they're, like, implants
the implants. I didn't get those. Yeah, you don't want to get those in your front teeth because there's not a lot of bone up there. You just, you know...
Oh, okay.
This is just bridge. So... But what happens is the gums need to be like, you know, you got to like work them a little bit. So you got to pick them and kind of get them, toughen them up a little bit and form a little callus there.
Fair enough.
So yes, I'm always picking my teeth. It's like a little habit I have now. So if you come to my house.
Well, it sounds pretty.
If you come to my house, I have dental floss in every room. It's just there. All dental floss and picks and stuff. And I'm always like jamming things in my teeth. It's just like a habit now, which is not a bad habit.
No.
I mean, there are people
who don't do it at all.
Doing crack cocaine in a
There's worse things
in
going
alley.
On.
And,
I saw Miles Davis one time, and he had to ask someone in the audience if they had any floss.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It was in Provincetown in, I don't know, 1989.
Really?
And he was like, this is going to sound weird. He came out before he was due to come out. And he goes, this is going to sound weird. But I need some dental floss. You will appreciate my music much better if anyone has any dental floss. And of course, some lady in the front row had a purse and some dental floss.
And
it's a great dental floss story.
And then went back
and then played his trumpet like a crazy man. It's trumpet player, right?
I'm going to have to borrow that dental floss story. I'm going speed dating tonight. I need to impress this little young lass over. And,
are you going speed dating?
I'm just joking.
I was going to say, is there still doing speed dating?
But imagine how far I'd get telling a dental floss story during speed dating.
Right.
Not far at all. You don't think I'd get any numbers? I would impress
you. You'd be all right. I mean,
you don't think
people like to know that everyone has good oral hygiene.
I think that'd be a weird way to sit down with it. Hi, I'm Matt, and here's my dental floss story. Okay, now, listen, the clock is running. Listen up.
Right. Well, I did a NACA version of that, the National Association of Collegiate whatever. To book colleges, you have to submit a tape. You get accepted, and then you do a showcase at a national convention of 20-year-olds to wow them. And I did essentially the speed dating version of that, where I did a 4-minute set 4 times in different rooms around this hotel.
Wow.
And no one's going to book me from this.
Wow.
But I did what I could. And that's what I always thought about speed dating. I did internet dating for years.
You did.
And that's how I met my fella. And
I landed my man.
Yeah. I'm a beacon of hope, my friends. And wow. because I wasn't good at dating. Like, I didn't know how. And the greatest thing about, and I've said it before, the greatest thing about online dating is that the clarity of intent, right? Like, I meet men all the time.
Sure.
None of them had any idea that I had a crush on them. Yeah. Absolutely none of them. I would stand next to them and feel like I liked them a lot. Never, ever, ever resulted in me getting asked out.
Yeah.
Online dating, I'm a woman looking for a man to date, drop down menu options, right? Mm-hmm. To date. I have enough friends. It's all working out in the friend department.
Yeah.
And then essentially, do you have any interest in getting with this ever? Wow. Or at least looking into it. And so, and that's the greatest thing about online dating is the clarity of intent.
The clarity, yeah.
Because you meet them, you look at each other and you go, probably not. But we'll give it an hour.
We'll go through this blooming onion and right. we'll, you know, get out of here. And we'll, we'll say goodbye to each other, you know?
Right. We'll give it a shot. And, you know, and then if you're not horribly, you know, discombobulated with them, you can give it two or three shots. And then you're like, because you'll know by the third or fifth date if you ever want to get
with it. I usually know by the third minute. Usually most people do. I don't need like four dates to get them. I can tell you with somebody almost immediately, yes or no. I just can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty quick.
It's very quick.
Yeah.
I've online dated and I've met women that are amazing online. They're like, oh my God, this is like the one. And then I meet them in person and it's like, oh, you're not that person. Clearly you had somebody fill out your dating profile.
That was a big problem of mine initially.
I had somebody punch up your dating profile because this person talking to me.
I had to get someone to punch down my online. They were like, okay, a little too hilarious, Jackie. You might want to go with a little more sincerity and a little less jokey. And
self-deprecating.
Yeah.
Mine was very jokey. And I'd have people like contact me and say, hey man, I loved your profile from a girl in like Russia or something. It's like what am I supposed to do with that?
I can't do. I'm glad you enjoyed my writing.
I'm glad I gave you a little chuckle, but I don't want to,
Will we ever make out in Russia?
Bangor, Maine. And,
Irkutsk.
Irkutsk.
Yes.
But so I did the online dating for a while, but I don't do it anymore. I did the OkCupid thing for a while.
I say you got to take a break. It's emotionally draining.
It also is a time waster because you tend to like just get
just sort of
it.
Trolling around.
It becomes like another social media forum. Like you go there and you just like you can just search through people all day and just kind of mess around and chat with people. And I'm very social online, so it's like if you contact me, even if I have no interest, I'll just contact you back because it's in my nature to like just be chatty online, you know? So I end up like chatting with people like all day long. I have no interest in dating.
Right.
I have no interest in seeing it. I'm like, why did I just waste an hour of my life doing this? Nothing was
accomplished.
This
isn't good for either of us.
Yeah. I'm leading somebody on. I'm building up their hopes and all I want to do is just chat about sports, you know?
Right. Oh, we have things in common. Let's talk about that.
Exactly. Person that I'm never going to see and I'm not attracted to. Yeah.
Right.
Let's do that.
Or lives too far away.
Or lives
I also put like a 25 mile radius thing on it where I was like, I can't.
Me too.
And
I put a 10 mile range.
2.5 miles. He lived 2.5 miles from me.
Really?
And we had two mutual friends.
Wow.
Weirdly.
What dating site did you use?
It was 10 years ago. So it was The Onion. It was an LA Weekly umbrella thing.
I remember that thing.
And so it was free.
Yeah.
And he went through nerve.com and I went through The Onion.com and I thought he was an Onion guy. And I said that to him and he was like, no, I read The Onion. But and then he never said anything about it until we were dating 3 months. And he was like, I was on Nerve. And I said, well, what's Nerve? And he goes, softcore porn, kind of. I was like, really?
No.
He goes, I don't know. It's a lot of pretty pictures of some ladies.
Pretty pictures of the ladies.
Right. And I was like, okay.
I'm not lying here. I look at ladies.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. I thought, because I went through The Onion because I didn't know, because I assumed it was that it would be, someone who reads The Onion knows what funny is.
Exactly.
And then we can be sincere and at least, you know, try to meet each other and talk like people.
Yeah.
But I hear OkCupid's actually not bad.
That's what I was on, OkCupid, because it's free.
Yeah. And this thing was free.
And the funny thing is that I have people who have joined Match, which costs money.
Right.
And they tell me the same exact people you see on Match, you see on OkCupid. It's the same people. So they're like, there's no point in going on Match. And why pay when you can just get it for free on OkCupid? I mean, it's the same people.
I know two people that were turned down by eHarmony. They were like, we got nothing for you. They would not take their money.
Really?
Yeah.
Because they
were like, we don't have any matches for you. And these are heterosexual women.
They're women. Wow.
Yeah.
Usually it's the guys that are getting the the old.
How crazy is that? You're like,
wow.
I got the call from my friend.
That's got to be demoralizing.
It was super demoralizing. She was like, she's married now and has two children. Okay. But because that was a while back. But I was like, wow, that is brutal.
What a punch to the gut that is, you know? Sorry.
Right. Wow. She said, nobody, nothing. You got a million people in there. You
exactly.
Got nothing.
So we checked. I personally called all 5.3 million bachelors on our site. Not one is even remotely attracted
to you.
Is
interested in this.
No.
No. She has really good teeth, too.
Oh, I like that. I love teeth in a woman. That's good.
You like a nice...
I do. I don't care about the smile so much, but just I like a nice, healthy...
Set of chompers,
you know?
That is nice.
Yeah. I met out with a girl once who had the jagged teeth, and my tongue, like, she cut my tongue.
Because
we were, like, tongue kissing. French kissing. Did I say tongue kissing? French kissing.
Are you in eighth grade?
I know.
Were you guys tongue kissing? That's awesome.
Where did that come from?
That's perfect. That's exactly what we're talking about here.
Oh, you're writing that down. That's a good one. I don't blame you. It's nice
for the teaser, maybe.
Exactly.
But who doesn't want to get in on that?
Yeah. But we were French kissing, and she had a jagged tooth, and my tongue, like, rubbed against it, and it cut it.
All of a sudden, you guys are kissing in blood.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was wearing an AIDS ribbon for the next 3 years, just praying I wouldn't get Larry Kramer came to my house and gave me a tutorial on the way
Andy came up to me. Pardon me.
That's good.
I, very sorry. So, I kissed Andy's arm the other day, and he said, "Be careful! I have Ebola." Get what's happening there? It's an elbow.
Oh,
but it's like an elbow.
Wow.
See what's happening. See, he doesn't write comedy. He just lives it.
You should put the Price is Right fail horn right there when you podcast later.
Oh, right. A little insert.
You insert that one right there. That'd be nice.
Well, here's my favorite thing about those jokes with him is that they make me laugh against my will.
Exactly.
Because I don't expect them to come.
Yeah.
I hang out with very dark comedians.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's making an elbow joke. Maybe Mike Kaplan.
I will say that I'm the same way. I hang out with dark comedians. Yet every once in a while, I'll be hanging out with my little 5-year-old niece, and she'll say a joke, and it's so corny and cute. I just laugh for like,
incongruous.
It's so funny.
You're right, fall over hilarious.
You kind of forget that, oh, that's comedy too.
Just a simple joke
setup. Instead of a guy talking about, you know, eating Taco Bell in his car at 3 in the afternoon and making a joke out of that. No, jokes can just be funny and
humorous.
They
can be everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they got all kinds of potential.
Charming. And especially exactly. when it's a child. You're just
when it's a child telling a joke, it's just great.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
So here's what, let's do this. Let's talk about hiking. I love the words when you said, I'm kind of obsessed with hiking, but let's not talk about it. And I was like, no, we need to talk about it. This is the dork forest.
Dr. Phil, I'll get it all out there, okay? I was molested by a hiker.
A rock once really turned me on. I love the longest of all walks, but usually not in nature. I just like an urban walk, quite honestly.
Oh, I hate those.
You don't like an urban walk?
I can't stand those.
You like a nature walk.
Yeah, like the idea of hiking or running is to be alone. And when you're doing it urban style through cities, dodging women on their phones and dogs, it's just not, no.
Not for you.
That's why I only like going to Runyon Canyon, which is kind of the hipster...
LA area
to go hiking.
Straight up in the... I've never been to Runyon Canyon.
It's very kind of blasé, but it's just so packed with...
Hikers.
Not hikers, just people like, you know, on cell phones and just...
Are they power walking?
They're just like groups of hipsters going up there. It's just not my scene. The fact that, that there's a national hiking scene in
a
LA
hiking scene is
really
kind of hilarious.
Hilarious. I go to Griffith Park because there's spots there where you are totally... secluded, and there's nobody. And
it's your secret place in the forest.
And the coyotes. What?
You and the coyotes. It's your secret place in the forest.
It is. It really is.
Griffith Park, huge, by the way.
Massive.
So,
bigger than people. People always think it's small. It's massive.
It's like, is it bigger than Central Park?
Oh, I don't. I've never been to. Oh, you know what? I bet it is. Oh, yeah. It's got to be bigger than Central Park. Yeah.
Yeah. It's gotta be. Yeah. It's so. And it's not squared off. So
it kind of just meanders around. You'll be walking along, and suddenly you'll kind of stop and go. That's a path, and you can like kind of take it, and like all suddenly you're on this path that you've
never seen. I've gone horseback riding in Griffith Park.
Me too.
But I've never
I love that.
Yeah, that's great.
I love the horseback riding.
Do you go to the equestrian center or just someplace by there? Or where
no,
do you go?
Sunset Stables.
Oh, wow.
I used to take lessons up there, horseback riding lessons. And
oh,
I did the,
I've always wanted to do Sunset Stables.
I did the dinnertime ride. You ever been done that?
Nope.
That is the best. What you do is every Friday they have it called a dinnertime ride. And you can get a bunch of friends, 20, as many as you want.
Yeah.
And you get a big group and you get on horseback and you go up in the canyon, the sun's setting, and you go all the way through the canyons and you come out in Burbank, kind of by the equestrian center. There's a little Mexican restaurant there, and you dismount your horse, tie it up like in an old Western movie, and get on in the Mexican restaurant. And there's like sawdust on the floor and a band playing, and you can like get all this great Mexican food and get drunk on margaritas. And,
and then get back on a horse.
And then you go back out and you drive back to the
You ride?
You ride back, and it is... By now, it's pitch black. It's pitch black, okay?
Right.
And you're drunk.
Right.
And you're on these horsebacks. And when you're going through the canyons, you are, like, going along the edges of these canyon walls, which are, like, probably five-story drops. It's really spooky. And you can see, like, the coyotes, like, little eyes will light up, you know?
Yeah.
It's really scary. I
and mean, pretty
it's
great.
Scary and awesome and the best thing ever.
And luckily, the horses have done it.
And the horses have done it so many times.
They're
know
safe.
Exactly where they're going. They just,
right.
Yeah. But
okay.
It's really terrifying.
The sunset one where there's dinner.
Yes.
I'll do that.
That's the best one. That's
yeah.
The best thing to do is if you ever do it, let me know because I get like groups of people together.
Yeah.
It's so fun. I've been trying to get one together for a while, but it's tough because Friday at 5 is like people are like, you know, working and stuff. And
right,
so.
Right.
But yeah, I'm trying to get one together. I would love to do that. It's
yeah.
so fun.
Okay.
I've
yeah.
had a couple of them and they're the best ever. Best time.
Fair enough. I yeah. love that idea. That's
your horseback ride. That's good. I did not know that.
Yeah. I'm not good at it. It's
well, you don't need to be good at it.
No,
because all you do
trail
is
rides.
Canter. Yeah, just
yeah.
cantering is basically just yeah. you know, it's very simple.
We went up to Santa Barbara not my last birthday, but the birthday before, and we did like a 3.5 hour overlooking the ocean, and it was. I mean, I was in pain for days because I don't ride.
Yeah, you can really get your inner thighs and your butt
and your
lower
butt
back
is just like holy smokes.
You're doing that kind
right?
of like walk that they did in the old West. What's a name for it? It's like
a stagger.
Yeah, kind of a stagger or something like that. It's for that cliche walk you'll see cowboys do. But
oh, right, right.
That's actually...
The bow-leggedy.
That's what
oh, that's
yeah,
it.
Bow-leggedy walk. Yeah, that's sort of what it is. And, but it's true. You do that for a couple
yeah.
days.
Yeah.
You're just so...
There was an old comic. He just passed away. He's a great Native American Ojibwe guy named Charlie Hill out of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on... Johnny Carson, back in the late 70s, the joke that everyone knew him for was, hi, how are you? It was very, 1979, whatever.
Gotcha.
But my favorite joke of his was, he would tell this story about how his little boy was learning how to walk. And he said, have you ever seen a toddler learn how to walk? They walk like John Wayne. Because they sort of stand up and they stagger in one direction, then they stagger in another direction. There's nothing more terrifying than an Indian guy. When your kid looks like John Wayne, he's like, I'm not going to punch you. Yeah, I am. I'm going to punch you or whatever. I don't forget the actual
line.
Was his
name Charlie Day?
Charlie Hill.
Charlie Hill. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. He was a great,
I'll
great comic. He just passed away, I think, last year.
Oh,
he's a good egg.
Good
but,
egg.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but my hiking obsession.
Yeah.
I hike and I run a lot and it's just something I need to do. It kind of like clears my head and it's like therapeutic in a way. You
yeah.
Because like you got to get out there and just be alone and just run around and just, you know.
And
I just
so,
love
and,
it.
And, you, and you don't do it in the street. You do it. You go
never,
to Griffith Park
never.
And run
I go to Griffith Park
those and, trails.
Yeah. I go. There's a little. I'll go up there and there's a little parking spot that I always use. And there's the trail that I've kind of found and discovered. I always take the same one because there's no. Almost
you get
nobody,
lost.
I don't get lost.
Oh.
But there's almost nobody on it.
You mean, oh, that's great.
I'll go the entire thing, and I may see one person. It's
oh,
great.
That's – how long's the trail?
Sometimes like two and a half hours. And I usually run most of it. I'd run most of it, which is
wow.
Great. Yeah.
So you spend a good 2-3 hours
yeah.
just by yourself.
And it's like high inclines and –
And going down the hills.
And, you know, every once in a while I'll look up and a coyote will be kind of stalking me, and I'll like be running a little bit, and they'll just kind of stalk me, and it's great. It's like, I love it. I love
wow.
That. I mean, you know, if you had your choice, Jackie, to live – near the beach or the mountains, where would you live?
Oh, probably the beach, but
you
I
think
don't.
So?
But I don't.
I'm more of a mountain guy. That's my
yeah?
thing. Yeah.
Andy's a big mountain guy too, but
yeah.
he grew up here. But did you grow up among the mountains? Didn't you guys?
I grew up in Virginia,
which
but
has
it was very
right?
mountains. Yeah. Very
yeah.
mountain-y. Very woods, basically.
See, because I love sort of a rolling hill wood kind of situation,
yeah.
which is Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And then I
That's
grew
what
up
Virginia
right
is too.
And I grew up right on Lake Michigan. So I love lakes, the beach and yeah. lakes, and Michigan's huge, right?
Lake Michigan has a beach? Oh, yeah, I guess they do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, just a whole, the most of the Milwaukee County is by decree undeveloped.
Okay.
For something like 30 miles, and it's all public land. So just for...
Are there like white sandy beaches?
Yeah,
is
yeah.
that real, or was that shipped in?
No, real.
That's real.
It's,
okay.
Yeah, it's not like Maui. You know, it's not like okay. Key West. But I mean, it's so it's more grainy than anything. But they're beaches, and they're really? It's sandy beach. It's not.
There's no waves there, right? There's no like.
Yeah, there's waves, but there's nothing like the ocean. Like,
no,
there's no tide.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever been to Chicago.
I have, but I've never been. I've seen Lake Michigan, but I never went down. I go usually at Christmas time.
Oh,
so
Jesus.
It's just too freaking cold to walk down. But I've walked as close as I dare.
Right.
Before my ears snap off.
Yeah, you should definitely, like, July or August. It's so beautiful. And it's just... When I was a kid, all I did was... I mean, I just... To get away from my... beloved family. I'm the youngest of six. And we lived in a very small house stacked like cordwood slaves in the hold of a ship. And so we would, I would leave on Saturday morning. We would all clean, right? For example. And the rule was, is you had to be home by 5 o'clock for dinner. And we would clean until probably around 10:30, 11. And then I didn't have to be back until 5. So I would just, And South Milwaukee is probably 3.5 miles square. And I would just do laps around the city. And I would go and I would walk the neighbor's dogs. And because we didn't have a dog. And the neighbors were like, please, please walk our dog. Yeah. And I take the dog to the lake and I take him back. And it was some of the best times of my life. I would spend like 4 hours.
Would the dog
go
in the lake? Would he like jump in the lake and like swim around a little
bit? Yeah, we'd screw around in the lake. We'd go through the, we'd go through the woods and, you know, cause it was just, that's what I like is I like kind of hills and woods.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of my things that I've always wanted to do is if time travel, or when I like to think of it is when time travel is invented, I want to go back in time to the early 1600s and see what my town looks like, South Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I want to go camping in that. And here's the thing. I don't know anything about camping. So what I really want to do is go back in time and die of exposure, because I would die almost immediately of bears, wolves. When you think about Wisconsin in the 1600s, there's really nothing to kill you except for large predators.
Large predators, exactly.
Yeah, there's not really snakes or spiders.
There are timber rattles up there.
Yeah, but I mean, not they're not. They, oh yeah, sure. I suppose back in the 1600s, they're probably all over the place.
Yeah.
And so, do you camp?
I do, yeah. I work for this place that is trying to reintroduce the greater wolf back into Flagstaff, Arizona, the Coconino Mountains up there. And so I've been up there a couple times, and we go up there and we like fix fences so to enclose them. And because what happens is a lot of guys on their four-wheel ATVs will go up there and knock the fences down.
Right.
And they'll ride around. But by doing that, the wolves, which have been reintroduced, will get out of that Coconino forest and down into the city, and they get shot.
And then they get killed.
So we want them to stay up there. So we basically just fix fences. But by doing that, it takes a couple of days.
Right. So you got to
camp out. And it's amazing. It's so cold. But it's freezing up in the mountain in Flagstaff. Oh, it's freezing up there. It's like 8,000 feet above sea level.
Oh, geez.
And it's really cold. And talk about coyotes. Entire like packs will like run through your camp at 3 in the morning howling. It's terrifying. You'll just hear them screaming and
Jesus.
Yeah, but it's kind of awesome too. You know?
Right. I mean, as long as you don't feel like you're about to die.
Not at all. The coyote's not really that dangerous. I mean, they just like... Yeah.
They might bite you.
Not really.
No?
No, they sort of skittish.
You got to stand your ground?
Yeah, they're kind of skittish. There's so much up there for them to eat. They're not going to go after a human being.
Okay.
There's lots of things up there, yeah.
Same with the ones in Griffith Park?
Yeah, they're very skittish.
I mean,
I've never heard of a coyote attack up there. Although, did you hear about this hiker that was... beaten almost to death yesterday. Yeah, it happened randomly. Yeah, I was up there when it happened. In Griffith Park. As I was hiking, I saw all these helicopters flying around. But that's common. You see
common enough. Yeah.
A lot of police helicopters. And when I got home, I turned the news on. They're like, hey, breaking news, Griffith Park. Some hiker was walking around and a couple of guys jumped him and just almost beat him to death. Just randomly.
Just a robbery?
They don't know what happened. They don't know what happened. It happened way, way far away from where I was.
Okay.
But still, it was like, that's like, Griffith Park is just like the safest place you'll ever think to go. Like, it's there's nothing criminal-wise up there.
Right, right. I mean, everybody...
Except for old guys following you into the bathroom. But that's aside from that...
Right, then you just say, thank you very much.
You say, thank you, sir.
Not at this time.
I don't think I'm going to... Yeah, yes. I don't think I'm going to do that. Yeah,
I am not in Wham.
Yeah, yeah.
And wasn't that guy in Wham?
Exactly, George Michael.
That's it.
Exactly, yeah.
What I like is that my musical knowledge is almost just half... I think I referred to... I can't remember his name. Damn it. Chris Pratt, I think his name is.
Chris Pratt? Oh, the guy from Guardians of the Galaxy?
Right. And yeah. I was like, because I was talking about Guardians of the Galaxy, and I called him that guy from Parks and Rec. And
that guy from Parks and Rec.
I was like, I couldn't remember his name.
Just to knock him down a peg in case he thinks he's getting too, you know, A-listy for the rest of us. Sorry, buddy. You're still that guy schmuck from Parks and Rec to me, okay?
Right.
That's all you'll ever be.
Which I've never seen that show, but I understand it's very, very funny. So, right, because it's sitcom, and that's not our dorkdom, it turns out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, not sure.
Did you watch sitcoms in the 80s, though, like me?
I think so. I think I did. I watched Cheers.
That's more 90s. Silver Spoons, Different Strokes, Facts of Life.
Oh yeah.
Webster.
As will happen sometimes during the Dork Forest, the phone will ring, and I got to go hang up on somebody. It's probably something political.
Tell a gene or
a teeth or a hiking story.
I'm going to eat my gummy teeth just to describe you guys what she has. She has a lot of leftover Halloween candy, and most of it is gummy. Which is kind of disappointing. I was hoping for maybe a fun-sized Snickers or maybe a Baby Ruth or something, but it's all this gummy stuff. And gummy stuff is good. The first couple are good, but then they
sort of sit
in your
stomach. I got some chocolate, but it's a little melty because I usually have a Dove dark chocolate, and then I have a cashew.
Dove dark chocolate, ugh.
No. What's your chocolate? You like a milk chocolate? Is that what
I like? I like a milk chocolate. Yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a big dark chocolate guy.
Okay.
Never have been. Never will. What's that white chocolate? I hate that.
No, I don't like white chocolate because I don't think it's actually chocolate.
Yeah.
It's something else.
It doesn't taste like chocolate. It tastes
like sugar.
It tastes like something that was dusted with chocolate and just has a slight chocolatey flavor, but it's not chocolate. It's something else.
Something else is involved.
Yeah, I just don't get it.
I don't want any part of it.
And the thing is, if I have a choice between chocolate or, you know, you get the regular chocolate, you're not going to go and get white chocolate. You know?
No.
Who would do that?
No, you only get white chocolate when you have no other choice.
Exactly. If you're in a bakery and you see all these options, you're not going to go,
If you love white chocolate, Americans, my fellow Rangers, please email me.
Sorry to lose all your followers. Yeah, exactly.
Email me and tell me why. What's the draw? But here's the thing. There are things that I don't like. Like, I don't like fruit and meat.
Wow.
I know. Some people love it.
Are you a vegetarian?
Nope. Nope. I am a pro chicken.
You like chicken?
I like chicken. I like turkey. I like all poultry. I like Chinese duck. The Chinese are doing good work with duck.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's hard to get good duck, though.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get that duck and it's very fatty.
Right.
That's my problem with ordering duck. It's expensive and it's always fatty. That's why I don't trust getting Chinese duck. But you're right. When it's good,
it's amazing.
It's amazing. But it's a matter of going to do 20 bad dishes.
You have to find where the Chinese are going.
Yeah.
And I was just in Hong Kong. Get this. I had some mediocre Chinese food in Hong Kong.
Really?
I know it. No one was more shocked than I. Because I was like, hey, folks, could have stayed in the valley. Could have stayed in Los Angeles.
Exactly.
Because you know how you have to find the good Chinese place in Los Angeles? You got to drive down to Monterey Park, I think it is.
Yeah.
That's where many of the Chinese live.
Oh, really?
There's a big Chinese community down there. But I did find there's a really good soup dumpling place that has pretty good Chinese food here in like Northridge or whatever. It's called... Tampa Garden. It's on Tampa and Roscoe.
I just love the idea they've combined Tampa, a city in Florida, with Chinese food. That's amazing. And they've gotten away with it. And they actually pulled it off.
They have.
God bless them, you know?
Tampa Garden. Tampa Garden is on Tampa. I think
Come to Miami Beach, Hunan. We got the best damn...
Cuban Chinese. Would be the best.
Exactly.
So... well...
General Chow, Fort Lauderdale.
Well, Matt, this has been a lovely time. This is
was that a good fill-in guest? You never told me who the fill-in guest was.
I can't even remember.
How do you not remember who your original guest was? Didn't you have them all like notes and stuff and prepared? And weren't you all like, you know?
I'd love to tell you that's what happens here on the Dork Forest.
You don't like do you see the
piece of paper that we're working with here? I just wrote your name at the top of it, Matt Oswalt, and then I wrote at Puddin' Strip Twitter.
That's it.
Yeah. And that's it. And then that was all I did.
Wow.
But I do like the idea that I would have. I do have some pre-production. I have a pre-production sheet that I send people And whoever it was, I think they must have canceled.
Yeah.
And
that happens. But you know what? Whenever you need somebody at Tuesday at 3 in the afternoon,
you might
let me
be
tell
available.
You something. I am
you might be around.
By my phone.
Well, if you ever want to do another pudding strip, I can come in and say racist things.
I would love
and,
you to do that.
I could do that.
You seem like you could pull that off.
Sure.
I want you to wear the gray jeans with no back pockets.
Holy, from the id.
From the id. The store was called the id?
Id.
I don't remember that store. It was an 80s thing?
It was definitely an 80s thing. We're talking Id. 84.
Okay.
85.
Did you ever have Chess King? Was that?
That was a fella.
Remember Chess King?
Remember Chess King? No collars.
No collars.
Remember
yes,
that?
Yes, that's right. And they're all skinny and skinny ties.
Skinny ties.
Skinny leather ties, yeah.
And even the skinniest of all ties, some people would go with a bolo.
Oh, dear.
It was
God.
All kinds of terribles. That ain't right.
Because if you're going to get your ass kicked in high school, get it
right.
in style, you know?
Please, carry that briefcase.
Dress for the part, okay? What the
hell? Thank you so much, Matt Oswald,
Yay.
For being on the Dork
it
Forest.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thanks for listening, folks. Take care out there.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?